there will be changes coming up to the Las Cruces City Council with two of the members electing not to run for re-election this year.
Yeah, actually, and then there's a lot else to talk about, but let's start with, you know, who's running locally. City Councilor District 3, and refresh my memory, I think that's the one that Becky Graham is now holding, right?
That's correct.
And she is not running. She's had enough of
just one term.
That experience.
Right.
Does not want to, you know, run again, spend another 4 years doing what they do and listening to what they have to listen to. That's her view. That race, District 3, Isaiah Paul Tejas, who I think is in real estate, and Michael James Harris.
Looks like we've got a phone call. So it is Amanda. Yeah.
Okay. Hi, Amanda. Are you there?
Hello, I am.
Yes, we can.
Good.
Okay, great.
Let me very quickly finish reading the list of who we're who the candidates are, and then talk to you about what's next and that sort of thing. District 5, the incumbent is Becky Ann Curran, and she will run for re-election and be challenged by Ronnie M. Cisneros. District 6, interesting race. There again, Yvonne Flores, I think, is the incumbent. She is not running. And we have four contestants, two or three of whom, you know, I know, at least a couple of them have been on this show. John P. Munoz of Addison Care. Tommy Black, who's a longtime radio DJ, youth mentor, and I know he's an Army veteran as well. Rick Renault, who also ran for the county commission position in 2020, lost narrowly in the Republican primary. And Ramona Batamiant, who is another real estate person. In the schools, we have District 1, Patrick Nolan, and unless I missed something, he doesn't have a position.
That's correct.
District 2 is incumbent Pamela Court, being challenged by Christina Moore, who is something like Vice President of Students for Life at NMSU. District 3, Paul Kevin Parr, who I think is an English teacher, incumbent Robert Wofford, Adriana Garcia, and Natalie Chadbourn, who I think is another real estate person. Did I get that right as far as your memory, Amanda?
It all sounds right to me. That's kind of what I looked at this morning, and it is kind of set because the deadline's passed, so yes.
Correct. And before there are, you know, really official candidates and on the ballot, you need to vet them, make sure they live in the district or whatever. What do you check, and how long does that process take?
Sure. So like everything we do, it is statute-driven, and yesterday was the official filing day from 9 to 5. We accept face, basically value, confirm the basic things like the address. We look at their district, and we accept their candidacy. And then we just do a deep dive. For example, if there were signatures required, we would then confirm that there were X amount of signatures. It goes through several people to basically almost do a, you know, checks and balances within our office. And we have a week to get them their qualification letter. Now, frankly, on local elections, it just takes a lot less time because there's rarely extensive signature requirements. So, so that's at this point what my team will do.
Good. It was. I happened to be over there for a county commission meeting. It was. You were doing a land office business there. A lot of people signing up and a lot of people visiting with you guys out in the hallway.
Well, you know, Peter, we'd like to. When I first got to be there as clerk, when I was the first appointed, it was much more business-like, but I really feel like it's a celebration. Anytime anybody steps up to run for office, regardless of whether I agree with them or not, I'm thrilled because it gives voters options. And we try to make it a festive environment. We have a selfie backdrop. We have balloons. We want to make it what it is, a big deal.
Yeah, I agree with that. Am I right that this is going to be the third election that we'll have with ranked choice voting?
Correct. So we started in 2019, 2021. Oh, actually, no, it's the fourth.
Is it the fourth already?
Yes, it is. Okay. It's already the fourth. Yeah.
Time flies.
Now that I think about it, because there's been the mayor race was in 19 and then 23. So, yes. So then we'll have the mayors in a couple of years. But, yes, that is we're the fourth.
So people should be used to that by now, but I assume there's always a little bit of a training or a explanation period that you have to do before each election.
Right. And for those tuning in who may not be aware, the city of Las Cruces chooses to administer their elections via ranked choice voting, which I always refer to as an instant runoff, and simultaneously, because I think that's more helpful. And the great thing is about new candidates, new cycle, is that they get the opportunity to also learn about it and hopefully teach their potential voters about it. And so it's becoming a little more, I think, accepted. But what I have always said from day one is if for whatever reason you don't like it, you're confused by it, maybe you just don't have as much faith as you would as you had previously, don't let it keep you from the ballot box. You can vote what I call quote-unquote classic, which is for one and then move along to the next. We hope that you rank because that means you get to participate in the instant runoff should it happen election night.
And just to, in case there's anybody listening who is not familiar with ranked choice voting, it basically means that, say, in District 6, where you have John Munoz, Tommy Black, Rick Renault, and Ramona Batniant, you have to get over 50% to win. And if the first time everybody votes their first choice, it finishes, let's say, 25% each on the four candidates.
Well, that's not going to work. 25% each?
For four candidates,
that would
be 100%.
Right. Then who do you drop?
Well, that's a good question. So let's say 26, 24, 25,
right.
And 25. So the person who got only 24% drops out. And what you do when
Correct.
You vote, and you should do this, you don't have to, as Amanda just said, but it's better policy, so you're fully heard. If you like, let's say, Rick Renault, he may not win. So who's your second choice?
Correct.
Tommy or Ramona or John. And put them on as your second choice. So if your person is not a winner, your second or third or even fourth choice, not fourth choice in this case, can influence who wins.
Absolutely. And so I like to use the ice cream analogy. You know, if we look like strawberry, vanilla, and chocolate and butter pecan, if you're absolutely set on butter pecan, it's your favorite in the world, but you can live with one or two of the other three, you might rank butter pecan one and strawberry second, but you really can't live with vanilla or chocolate, and you don't rank those. That means if butter pecan does not get 50% plus or maybe gets the least amount of votes in that first round, then they shake off, and yay, you're able to vote for strawberry.
That doesn't work for me because I want chocolate or nothing.
You
know, if it ain't chocolate or bittersweet chocolate or double chocolate, goodbye.
You're a classic voter for that one.
Or Lucuma, by the way. Did you ever have Lucuma ice cream?
No. I've never even heard of that.
No, it's a weird fruit that they had in Peru, and I had tried the ice cream, and I loved it. But anyway.
Sounds good.
That probably won't help you decide who to vote for. Anything else we need to know? When is the election?
The election is November the 4th. Early voting starts October the 7th. And so just head to our website, dacelections.com. We have all the up-to-date information. If you're interested in working for us, we would love that. There's also the different roles that you could play in the election, and you can click on those links. If you want to check your voter registration status, it's votenm.org, and you can click on the voter information portal. And I look forward to another election where I hope we continue to increase turnout, and we continue to basically institutionalize local elections. Every November, like clockwork, we have an election.
Well, thank you so much, Amanda Lopez-Askin, our Doniana County Clerk, and we'll talk to you further.
All right. Sounds good. Have a great day. Happy Wednesday.
Have a great Bye-bye. Election.
Thank Bye. You. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
And we also have – there are also bond issues, I think, both for the
yes.
city and the school district, which I know, people – typically just vote all for all of them or for none of them. But there has been a discussion, at least at the city level, a concern that the language is a little bit too vague. Instead of explaining exactly what they want to do with the money, it's for housing or for parks.
Interesting bond issue that I want to get into in a little while.
Yeah.
They had a meeting. They are going to do a hyper cluster of AI.
Oh, my.
Yeah, it's...
run for the hills.
Yep. Yeah. It's a large AI cluster, and the county basically is going to do the bonds where the county is not actually, it helps the people making this thing get a better interest rate and not pay taxes on certain things. I think it's industrial revenue bonds.
Okay.
And the problem is when you have these huge data centers, the cooling is a huge issue. And normally they're water cooled in this places like this. They're air cooled if you're in Oregon. They're normally water cooled here, but that's of course a complete non-starter in our valley. So they're going to air cool it. Problem with that is, unless you have a dedicated green system, it's way worse for the environment overall than the water cooled. It's terrible. And we have not been able, I haven't anyway, to get the county official involved with it or the company to say how they're going to cool it. Are they going to? And they say, well, we're going to have a data cluster that, or we're going to have an energy grid, local grid, that we're going to work out with El Paso Electric, so we're not going to interfere with other customers. That doesn't answer my question.
No.
Are you going to have a dedicated green system or not? And that's, to me, that would be a huge issue, if not the issue.
I just got back from Cheyenne, Wyoming, where they are putting these things in all over the place. Cheyenne, Wyoming has cheap land, and it is cool. It is sometimes cold, but I assume cold isn't nearly as big a problem as hot for these things, that you have to keep the machines cool.
I think that's right.
And I forget who it was, but we had this guest on, and actually he was talking in support of the nuclear waste proposal. Mm-hmm. But his bigger point that I thought was accurate was that we let politics get in the way of rational decisions. You put those servers in areas of the country that are fitting for them. You put windmills where the wind blows. We should be doing solar. We should have solar everywhere.
Anyway, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, there are other issues, other reasons. It'll bring a lot of jobs. There are reasons to support or oppose it.
Yeah.
But the big one for me is environmental, and they're going to vote, by the way, the vote they had yesterday was just to basically a resolution that they think they want to do this. It's not, doesn't commit the county. September 19th, they're going to do a real vote. And I hope by then these folks stop hiding the ball. I mean, I've sent an email every day for several days to some woman named Denise Carter, who's the... seems to be a county employee, but not very helpful so far. And I haven't talked to Susie Shaparo, but she was, I think, the only one. I had to leave before they voted to get my car back to my wife. But I think Susie was the only one that voted against it. But I hope some of the others, when it's the serious vote, if the answers aren't somewhat reasonable about energy, I hope they say no thanks.
Right. Now. Yeah. I mean, like I said, we can't have everything. We should be attracting businesses that make sense for us and industries that make sense for us, and that doesn't sound like one. Getting back to it, two of the three positions on the city council decided not to run. What does that tell you about, you know, the current state of the council? Yvonne Flores has been there long enough that I could see where she would say.
Yeah, she's been there long enough.
But for you know, Becky Graham to hang it up after one term.
Young. But, yeah, Becky, very, you know, her tone of voice is very clear. When you talk to her, you know, it's not, oh, well, just, I really regret not being. Not being able to run again because whatever, but, you know, I want out.
Yeah, right. So,
And there's been, and I'm not necessarily taking sides when I said this, but there's been a lot of acrimony. Yes, you should be able to take it if you're a counselor, and you and I take it as people who write and talk publicly and sometimes express opinions that people don't like. So that's it. And people certainly have and should have the right to express their opinions, whatever those may be. But it's been done so unpleasantly with some of those counselors, and the counselors, the citizens in some cases think the counselors have demeaned them, not shown them the respect they should. And it's just been unfortunate.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's fair.
And, you know, it ain't been fun. So I think Becky Graham, that's why she's leaving with Flores. She, as you say, has been there a while. She's not young. She's had health issues.
Right.
So, yeah, she's... I think that she would be leaving despite that.
Yeah, no, I think that's probably right. And I think we will see, but I think it's a safe guess that, you know, policing and public safety is going to be near the top, if not, you know, the top issue for most of those races. School board, I think it's fair to say, my guess, I don't know most of these other people running, but certainly the issue that has been the most controversial has been textbooks. I would expect that that would be something that would come up during the election. We'll see.
Well, textbooks and other books on the library shelves.
That's correct. That's right. That's a good point. And not just textbooks, but books on the school library shelves.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. We will try to have candidate for each election.
Oh, yeah. I mean, everybody gets invited, for sure.
Well, Walt's major task for the next few weeks, calling these people and emailing these people and lining them up. Look forward to participating in that. The other election thing I wanted to mention, and there were a couple of elections elsewhere that were of interest because, you know, they were state Senate.
Right.
People see them as indicators of the mood of the public. A lot of people, moderates, whatever their political party or none may be, moderates are not very happy with the current occupant of the Casablanca. And Iowa had an interesting election because they have had a supermajority in the state's Senate, whereby the Republican governor nominates somebody and a party line vote gives you the 2/3 that are needed. And, you know, that's that. No questions asked. So there was an election. In this case, the Republican state senator had died in office a couple of months ago. And it was a district that Donald Trump won by more than 11 points last November, but a Democrat won the district yesterday. So that is,
and you take great solace in state Senate races that nobody's ever heard of.
No, well, actually, a lot of people heard of this one. The Democrats, and this may color the degree to which it's indicative of mood, they had about 30,000 volunteers working on this thing. I mean, they really... Partly because it was the supermajority issue, but partly because it seemed to be an omen of how people, you know, are looking. And in Georgia, their state Senate election, and there too, that was a Republican, had held that, and he won it in 2024. He won the district by, I think, 70% to 30, and then Trump appointed him treasurer of the United States. So they had to fill that one.
Yeah.
And
they
had about six Republicans and a Democrat. The Democrat got about 40% of the vote last time I looked. That count may have changed later in the night, but was clearly going to come ahead. But there they have a runoff,
right?
And there were a couple people with 17%. One of those probably will be her. But then all the Republicans were mostly Republicans.
The point is, the combined Republicans had more votes than the Democrats.
Right. So she is not likely to win. She is likely to do better than Democrats have been doing in that district.
So you're taking solace in a state Senate race that we're going to lose by a lesser margin. Okay.
I'm just reporting the
news. You are grasping at straws.
I'm reporting the news. I'm not taking solace one way or the other.
Okay.
Anyway, the polls seem to indicate that moderates are very happy.
And meanwhile, Donald Trump is threatening to send troops to the streets of Chicago.
Yeah.
So I don't think, I'm not trying to diminish what you're saying, but nobody's paying attention to a state Senate race in Georgia when the president is threatening to send armed troops to the streets of Chicago.
Well, people are paying attention because, you know, I read it. And I'm repeating it.
Okay.
Babbling.
Democrats are in a horrible place. And so they're looking for any good scraps of good news they can find.
There's a lot of polls indicating people don't very much like the Democrats. And I would think for somebody who's not that knowledgeable about details of policy and that sort of thing, doesn't follow it that close, the whole thing about covering up for Mr. Biden as he was losing it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they still ended up doing a lot of things right, but I don't think, I think a lot of people don't feel too good about that in terms of trusting the Democrats.
I just think what are the big things that they've done to push back on Donald Trump? Well, Hakeem Jeffries got up and talked for a really long time. Okay, what else have you got? Well, the state legislators in Texas fled the state for a couple weeks. Okay, well, that didn't work. What else have you got? And it's just ineptitude. They've got nothing. People are so desperate for a strong, coordinated party that can push back against what they're seeing. People do not like what they're seeing. If that's your point, I agree with you. But if your point is that they're turning to the Democrats and saying, we trust you to be, they're not. They just are not.
No, I just said I think there have been a lot of polls showing people don't like them.
Yeah.
And I speculated as to one reason. Obviously, the culture wars are another factor in all these things. Mr. Trump is endangering our democracy. Do you feel any more? You've been the optimist compared to me.
Yeah,
I have. Do you feel any less optimistic? Or you?
We'll see. I mean, we'll see if troops go into Chicago. That will be. I mean, that won't mean that I'm wrong. And to be clear, the standard of this has always been: will there be another election when his term is up? And yes, there will be. So on that note, I haven't changed at all. But am I concerned about the possibility of the federal government sending troops into a city where there is clearly no cause for them? Yes, I'm concerned about that.
Well, what they did in Washington, Washington's a much lower crime rate than a lot of places.
I get that, but legally he has rights in Washington that he doesn't have in Chicago.
That's correct, although he has rights only for a certain period, and then he's got to get Congress to say you can stay more than 30 days.
Oh, he has to give. Yes. And does anybody think that he can't get Congress to say whatever he wants them to say? That's not a detriment. I mean, that's not. Congress thus far has been, to say that they haven't been a check is what is the opposite of a check?
Yeah. I at the end of, thinking of a check and balance at the end of a lawsuit that the prosecutor will say, you know, I have to prove, you know, I actually not a criminal case, but they'll say, you know, we have to prove by preponderance the evidence. Right. What does that mean? Well, that means if you have, you know, six bottles of water on this balance scale and six on this one, and they're even, and a feather drops on one, you know, I win. Well, the Congress has been a feather, if that.
Last couple minutes. Anything else we haven't touched on that you wanna mention before we go to our break and I bring in
yes,
our first guest?
The Harper's Index indicates that, and I didn't pull it out to bring with me, but an amazing number of people, amazing to me, say that they have sexual encounters with their AI.
Oh, my.
that kind of amazed me. I'm trying to think what else. Oh, Cracker Barrel is returning to its old logo.
Yes, yes. Oh, the old guy's back.
And a sad but meaningful thing that I read yesterday, Mississippi's declaring a health medical emergency based on the increased level of infant mortality, and they're not alone among states experiencing that. And it's just sort of one more sign of how inferior our health system is to that of other nations.
Yep. And in the meantime, Israel is still killing journalists.
Yes.
And feeling bad about it.
Yes.
We shouldn't forget that. There are no independent...
They apologize, is that...
They will not let independent journalists in to cover that war, and the few that are brave enough to do so are getting killed by the Israeli soldiers. That's the facts.